we doing today?
Good.
Good. Me too. So, have you guys heard of Jack and Jill? Yeah. You know that nursery rhyme? How does it go? Do you remember? Yep. You got the beginning. Jack and Jill went up the hill. You're right. Today, we're going to look at a story of Jack and Jill, but not that Jack and Jill, a different one. And we're going to look at how they are two different people on a similar journey. And but speaking of journeys, I want Tim to come forward. He is getting ready to go on a journey to Houston, Texas for the National Youth Leaders Conference, which they will talk about and learn about the National Youth Gathering that's coming up next July of 2022. So that'll be here before we know it. So we're excited for Tim to get to go down there for several days and to learn and to be inspired by the other youth leaders that will be there and the other presenters. So I wanted to have a prayer for Tim as he travels. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day that you've made, that we rejoice and are glad in it. I thank you for this opportunity to come together as your people, as we look at your word, as we speak your word and sing these hymns of reminding us of your promises of the past, your provision for the present, and our hope for the future. And I specifically pray now for Tim, as he prepares to travel. I pray, Lord, that you would guide his journey there, that he would be safe, as well as all the other youth leaders from all over the nation, and even overseas that will be coming to this conference to be engaged and to learn about this amazing gathering coming up in July of 2022. So we pray for safety, for them to stay healthy through this, and for a safe return home as well. And it's all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks for coming up. Big brother. Bring her in the right direction. Actually, all roads lead home. All right. So as I said, our sermon text is on 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to share this message based on two people's story about Jack and Jill. And as I share this, I invite you to put your shoes in each of these people, in both Jack and in Jill's shoes, as I go through this. So Jack and Jill are seated on a plane. The flight attendant gives Jack a parachute and tells him to put it on because it will improve his flight. He is skeptical at first, but doesn't see how wearing this parachute could improve his flight. After all, wearing a parachute in a seat in an airplane would be uncomfortable. And he would feel out of place if no one else was wearing a parachute like him. Yet the flight attendant assured him that wearing that parachute would improve his flight. So Jack puts on the parachute. And sure enough, as the flight progresses, Jack notices some of the other passengers are whispering and pointing at him, wearing this parachute inside this plane. He's embarrassed, and he sinks down in his seat, unstraps the parachute, and throws it down on the floor. And now he's mad at the flight attendant because he thinks that she lied to him. In the meantime, there's Jill. She's also given a parachute and told to put it on because at any moment, she will have to jump out of the plane. And so she gratefully takes that parachute and straps it on. She doesn't mind wearing the parachute in her seat, though it is uncomfortable.
Nor does she mind the snickers and the stares and the finger pointing from those around her. She is so thankful that she is prepared when she has to jump out of that plane at 25,000 feet. So this is the picture you should have so far in your mind. Jack, who put on the parachute to improve his flight, who was humiliated by all these other passengers, now mad at the flight attendant. As far as he's concerned, he won't put that parachute back on. Jill put on the parachute to survive the jump out of the plane that was soon coming. The reason she gratefully received the parachute and strapped it on was because she knew that it would save her life. No matter how her flight goes, she has a deep root of joy and peace in her heart, knowing that she is saved from certain death. And knowing this gives her the ability to withstand the mockery and persecution of the other passengers. She's grateful to the flight attendant who told her about the coming threat, who gave her the parachute that would save her life. Now, this is how we apply this story to our text today. The Apostle Paul uses this language of putting on, of strapping on the Lord Jesus Christ. But for some reason, we tend to think that if we put on or strap on the Lord Jesus Christ, it will make our life better. And that's about all. In other words, Jesus will simply improve your flight, like Jack thought. This is the person, as Jack, who tries out Jesus to see if his claims are true. And then when they face temptation and trials and persecution, they revert back to trusting in themselves versus the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see Jack finds it hard to follow Jesus and to live an upright life. Not only that, but other people mock him for his faith. So what does he do? He takes off the Lord Jesus Christ and is somewhat bitter towards the church and the pastor even. He thought if he tried out Jesus, it would give him a better life. But all he seems to receive is hurts and trials, humiliation and persecution for his faith. This is a situation that the Christians in Corinth were going through as well. And I encourage you to turn back to that text. As we look at this text, the epistle reading, in verse 1 through 6, he encourages them by describing what heaven is like. Most scholars believe that the man that Paul is talking about is himself, actually. This reference of the third heaven in verse 2 is a reference to paradise, the full presence of God. So if there's a third heaven, there must be a second and a first, right? So the first heaven is what we see when we look up in the sky. The clouds, the blue, everything in the sky that we see. And then there is the second heaven, and that's where the moon is, actually. So we actually get to see a bit of the second heaven. You can really see the second heaven through a microscope, right? No, that's not right. A telescope. Microscope, probably not, but a telescope. You can see the second heaven really good. You can see all the stars out there. And then the third heaven that Paul's referring to is the place called paradise, where the full presence of God is. So Paul admits that he said nothing about this experience until now, so that no one would look at him as being more special to God than anyone else. Yet he told them these things, not in order to boast, but in order to encourage them in their faith in the midst of their hurts, their heartaches, their humiliation, the embarrassment, and their persecution for their faith in Christ. And then, Paul gets even more vulnerable here in verse 7. He describes the so-called thorn in his flesh. Again, scholars don't really know what that actual thorn was But we get the picture that whatever it was a big burden to him. And it probably brought him some pain because he asked to have it taken away. Yet we also read where this thorn became a gift from God to Paul in order to keep him humble. With that thought in mind, let's look at another scenario going on inside the plane. There's another flight attendant on board who's carrying a tray of hot coffee. The flight attendant trips and slops hot coffee all over Jill. Does Jill rip off her parachute and throw it to the floor? No. Why? Because she didn't put the parachute on to have a better flight. She put it on to save herself when the time comes to jump from that plane. If anything, the hot coffee incident causes her to cling tighter to the parachute that she's wearing and maybe even look forward to the jump that is to come. So here's another application from our story to our text. If we had put on our parachute, the Lord Jesus Christ, to flee from the wrath of God to come, then when tribulation strikes, when the flight gets bumpy, when we get burned by our circumstances, we won't get angry at God or lose our joy or our peace because we did not come to Christ for simply a better lifestyle, but ultimately to flee the wrath of God that is coming. If anything, our troubles and our tribulations should drive us closer to Jesus. So, are you more like Jack, thinking God will improve your flight on earth, or are you more like Jill, trusting God through our trials, being prepared, and looking forward to the jump from this life to the next? And as you think about that, I want to refer you to the last few verses, 8, 9, and 10. Referring back, Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, this thorn, but the affliction remained. So what did Paul do? He didn't get what he wanted, did he? Did he take off his parachute and throw it on the floor? No. It drew him closer to God. And in the midst of him drawing closer to God, he received these beautiful words in verse 9. But God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God's word is where Paul found the strength and power to carry on in his weakness and his suffering. And so do we. And I'll close with Paul's conclusion in verse 10. So if you could turn back to verse 10 with me, and we'll read this together in closing. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. And we'll now continue with our prayer.